Baby, you my everything. When Drake first started getting attention back in 2009, I was skeptical. This guy was on Degrassi, now he's a rapper. But then Drake got undeniably good. All up on TV, I thought it made me richer. Wasn't paying me enough, I needed something quicker. So now but after a while, it felt like Drake stopped caring. Like maybe he was just using a bunch of templates to write his songs. Okay, all right, that's fine. And now, maybe machines. The flex, ain't bumping Justin Bieber, but a fever ain't left. Ain't. She know what she need, all her need, all she blessed. Ain't giving. The biggest Drake song in the country, as far as anyone can tell, wasn't written or performed by Drake. How that happened, coming up on Today Explained. Metro made the beat, so
you know that it's gonna slow. Support for Today Explained comes from BetterHelp. We'd all like to find an extra hour every day for the things that really matter. Therapy might be able to help you suss out what is most important and prioritize it. And BetterHelp can make the entire process convenient and painless. You can fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist in practically no time at all. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. You can visit betterhelp.com/explained today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/explained.
Hey, it's Noelle. Before the show starts, I want to invite you to take a survey that we're running right now. If you have a few minutes, we would appreciate you going to vox.com/podcast survey and telling us what you think. vox.com/podcast survey. There's also a link in the show notes. This will really help the show out, so thank you.
This is an artificial intelligence version of Drake, and you are listening to Today Explained.
Nilay Patel is the editor-in-chief of The Verge and the host of the Decoder podcast, and...
I was a very bad copyright lawyer before I became a journalist.
Which weirdly makes you the perfect person to talk about the intersection of AI... and the most popular Canadian R&B goof nugget in the world, Drake.
That's a great title for Drake.
Tell us where this song came from.
I don't know. That's actually a very fishy part of the whole story. So a couple weekends ago, a track blows up on TikTok called Heart on My Sleeve. It is perfectly engineered to go viral. It is an AI Drake X The Weeknd collaboration. These two artists have not collabed in forever, so it meets like audience demand. The person doing the track is wearing a bed sheet and glasses. They call themselves Ghostwriter. It has some songwriting to it. The person claims that they've been an industry ghostwriter, an actual songwriter for the industry. So it is well crafted. Importantly, it is absolutely not clear what role AI has played in making the song, except for synthesizing Drake's voice. So we don't know if AI made the beat. We don't know if AI wrote the lyrics. We don't know if AI mixed and mastered the thing. We just know that at some point in the process, they synthesized Drake's voice, probably against somebody actually rapping actual lyrics. I came in with my ex like Selena, the flex, bumping Justin Bieber, the fever ain't left. And that, I think, is where people have gotten particularly confused. It is not as though someone typed Make Me a Drake and The Weeknd song into ChatGPT and this thing was returned. It is a complicated songwriting process, and the last step is having an AI re-sing a song for you, basically. There's been a huge community of people making AI music using artist voices for quite a long time. My favorite is a cover of Hey There, Delilah using Kanye West's voice. It is adorable.
Hey there, Delilah, what's it like in New York City? I'm 1,000 miles away, but girl, tonight you look so pretty. Yes, you do.
Who wanted that to exist?
No one. And then it does. You're like, oh, Kanye should just stop whatever he's doing and just cover mid-2000s guitar rock. That would be great for him.
Mid is the operative word there.
Yeah, exactly. But these songs have existed for a long time, and they haven't gotten viral in this way. So this one going viral and the way it went viral and getting the attention it immediately got and being sort of crypto adjacent, right? The person had links in their bio to a service that was run by crypto people. All of it smells weird, but then the conversation it provoked is very important. So this is where copyright lawyer philosophy Neelai comes out.
Ah.
And I apologize. I pre-apologize for it.
Nice to meet you, sir.
The collision between computers and music is the story of our culture entirely. Whatever happens to the music industry because of computers happens to everything else 5 years later. You can just see it over time, right? The iPod came out. The music industry was overturned. Many years later, you could download movies. Music moved to streaming. The whole industry was overturned. Many years later, we're all streaming our TV, and the streaming services are full bore competition. And the thing that is repeated over and over again is that it becomes easier to make music. It becomes easier to copy the music. It becomes easier to distribute the music. And there's not any scarcity left, right? So when you had CDs, they were scarce. You had to go and manufacture some amount of CDs for some amount of money before you could put them in stores and have people buy them. And so there's natural scarcity to songs and music. You move to digital, now your cost of duplication is zero. The industry gets upended and you can't stop kids from doing it. You get to streaming, the cost of distribution falls to zero. You're not even bundling things into a 99-cent song. You're saying it's an all-you-can-eat buffet, and we'll do some complicated math on the back end. The last piece of scarcity has been the artists themselves. Taylor Swift is a scarce resource. Economically, there is more demand for Taylor Swift than she can ever make supply.
And bring on all the pretenders!
And now this AI has come along, and it's like, oh, we have an infinite supply of Taylor Swift. We have an infinite supply of Drake. And that fully upends the economics of the industry again, potentially in an existential way.
So how are the stakeholders here responding to this song?
Another extremely fishy part of this whole thing is he hasn't said anything about it.
Oh, Drake. He just knows. He knows how social media works. He knows that he could just stay out of it and it'll feed the beast.
It'll come to some resolution. But he said something about another AI track a couple days before this hit.
So Drake has reacted to an AI version of his voice rapping an Ice Spice song. He posted a screenshot of the post to his Instagram stories and wrote, "This is the final straw, AI."
How is Drake's label responding?
Yeah, so Drake's label is Universal Music Group, and I would say its responses have been equally weird. So first, Universal just released a statement about generative AI. And in that statement, the label said, look, you're on the side of the artists or you're on the side of the technology. Everyone is going to have to choose. And then very importantly, there was a line that said use of our songs to train these generative AI tools is a violation of our copyrights and other agreements. So this is Universal laying out its position. It's saying if you take Drake's catalog and you copy it into one of these programs to train it to make Drake's voice, you have now infringed our copyrights.
Huh. But they don't know for sure that's what happened here.
They don't know for sure that's what, for all we know, this is some kid who does a great Drake impression.
So does that make this song legal or in some murky gray area?
It is absolutely in a totally murky gray area. Universal Music Group was able to go and issue takedowns to YouTube and TikTok and other services. But what they were able to claim in order to get the song taken down was a sample of another song that they own.
What's that?
There's a very famous artist called Metro Boomin. When he produces a track, he has what's called a producer tag at the top of the track. It's, if Young Metro don't trust you, I'ma shoot you. The rapper Future says it.
If Young Metro don't trust you, I'm gonna shoot you.
The AI Drake song, Heart on My Sleeve, has that tag at the top.
Aha!
If Young Metro don't trust you, I'm gonna shoot you.
So Universal is able to say, hey, that's ours. For sure, that's ours. What copyright law regulates is making copies. Right. This is an ancient law. Copyright law is in the Constitution, right? This is as old as it gets. And it is built up very much around old ideas of how you distribute information, which is you have to make copies of it. And as we've gotten more and more into the digital age, we've gotten farther and farther from a one-to-one relationship between a song in a copy of a song, a book in a physical copy of a book. And everyone wants to skip ahead to, does Drake own his voice? Every copyright lawyer is all the way back down here at, where's the copy? And so the copy here is the copy of the Metro Boomin tag. It's the sample. You've made a copy of it. The copy is you've copied all of Drake's songs into your computer to train an AI. The copy is not, oh, his voice. Because his voice is not copyrightable in that way. And there's a big disconnect here in the law, because no one who ever wrote United States copyright law thought that we would get to a place where you could just take someone's voice.
How does this evolve? Is this the beginning of a very big problem for groups like Universal Music, for artists like Drake and Taylor Swift and The Weeknd?
I think this is the beginning of a historic split between the creative communities and the tech platforms. And what I mean by the creative communities is not just the record labels, but Hollywood, publishers like our own, authors. If you can just take all of our work and copy it onto your computer and then say it's totally free for me to train an AI to generate more work that seems like you, and trade on your likeness, trade on your trademarks, trade on your style, the law isn't there yet. I think there's a lot of questions to be answered. But if you just went and asked a normal person, does that seem fair to you? Does that seem appropriate that there's no compensation anywhere in that chain of events? Most people instinctively are going to say, yeah, that doesn't smell right. And I think that's the split, because the tech platforms, Microsoft, Google, OpenAI, they're all claiming that this copying of training data is quote unquote fair use, which is a very complicated part of copyright law that is, one, intended to be adjudicated on a case-by-case basis. So every lawsuit is not supposed to create precedent. It's just supposed to be case-by-case. And then also, once it hits the courts, every fair use lawsuit is like a throwing darts at a board. You have no idea what's going to happen, and often the courts get it wrong. So the tech platforms are very confidently saying this is fair use, and everyone who knows about fair use is saying that's not how that works. And then the creative communities are saying, who cares, pay us. You can see that this is all just going to run right into each other.
What about all like the non-Drake level artists out there, Neelai, of which there are many, and they're far more important perhaps because they don't already have piles and piles of money? How does this development in this technology affect them?
I think historically what we found when technology disrupts the high end of the market, it's because the people who don't have access to those tools or don't have all that money are suddenly able to do what the high end of the market is able to do. So that class of artists that you're talking about, right? They don't have access to all the money that Drake has. They don't have access to all the infinite songwriters that are on every pop hit now. What they do have access to is, oh, I can write some bars and then I can make it sound like Drake rapped them. And then maybe I can use that to get some attention to myself. Maybe one day I can have access to more instruments that sound differently than the ones that I'm using right now. And you just see how the bottom end of the market is just more excited about the tools because they just have less to lose.
We're going to hear from a musician who is thrilled to be incorporating AI into her work in a minute on Today's Play.
Support for Today Explained comes from Mint Mobile. Sometimes you see a really good sale, a really good deal, and you think, huh, what's the catch? You may be used to seeing quote-unquote great deals from overpriced wireless providers and thinking, what's the catch? With Mint Mobile, they say, there is no catch. For a limited time, their wireless plans are just $15 a month when you purchase a three-month plan. To get this new customer offer and your new three-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, you can go to mintmobile.com/explained. That's mintmobile.com/explained. You could cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/explained. $45 upfront payment is required. That's equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first three-month plan only. Speeds slower above 40 GB on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Ooh. Support for the show comes from NetSuite. There are a lot of things in life that give you headaches, like seats on an airplane with no legroom. That makes all sorts of parts of my body ache. Or having to pay $10 for a bottle of water at an amusement park. Don't do it, folks. Bring your own. Or just the existence of the DMV. Burn. DMV burn. There's got to be a good DMV out there. Anyway, NetSuite isn't like that. They actually want to help your business by making things simpler. NetSuite is a top-rated cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one platform and one source of truth. That's where they get me personally. According to NetSuite, you can reduce IT costs because it lives in the cloud with no hardware required. Access it from everywhere. Everywhere, anywhere. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. You can head to netsuite.com/explained. netsuite.com/explained. netsuite.com/explained.
Holly Herndon is an artist based in Berlin. She makes music mostly with her computer, and she generously made that version of our theme song you just heard.
So I've been making music since I was a child, but when I went to college, I decided to start using the laptop as my primary instrument. And that was a little bit weird at first because a lot of people didn't consider a laptop an actual instrument. But I realized that it was this very personal instrument that knows more about me than any other instrument before. So I tried to kind of harness some of the newness that this tool slash instrument could enable in music making. I was trying to find a way to make laptop performance interesting, because a lot of people would say, oh, you know, if you're playing your laptop on a stage, I can't tell if you're checking your email or not. Like, how do I tell if you're actually playing an instrument? And so I started singing using my voice as a kind of data stream, but what would come out the other end often didn't sound like a human voice. It would sound like whatever digital processing I had kind of put on my voice. I always say that's my biggest attribute, is that I'm a mediocre vocalist, so that it forced me to create all of these really unique digital tools to make my voice really unique and interesting. So that's kind of how that all started.
And this is how Holly got into making music with AI.
I'm still doing a ton of digital signal processing, but when I learned about machine learning, that you could kind of create a model of a sound, for example, my voice, then I realized, wow, okay, then I could ask this voice to kind of perform things that my physical human voice couldn't normally do.
So I'll also play you an example of her singing in Spanish, Bésame Mucho by Velázquez.
It can sing, you know, really complicated musical passages in multiple languages that I don't have the vocal training to accomplish.
Thank you. I can't speak Spanish, by the way, so.
Wait, sorry, you have an AI voice. Tell me more about that.
I do, yeah. So I've been working or experimenting with AI since around 2016.
Wow. So like way longer than Drake and The Weeknd.
Way longer than Drake and The Weeknd. Yeah. I mean, I've been, I gave a TED Talk in 2022 about this kind of like vocal impersonation, or as I like to call it, identity play.
Could someone else go on tour as me with my permission? Could I be in 1,000 different bands in multiple languages, and what would that even sound like?
But yeah, when I started experimenting with AI around 2016, I realized pretty early on that your model is your data. So it really makes a big difference what you train your AI on. And I really only felt comfortable training my AI on my own voice because that was the IP that I had access to, or on, people who I could get consent from. So I put together a small choir, small ensemble, and we collectively trained an AI together and we performed with the AI.
Wow.
Yeah, and so I have a newer version now called Holly Plus.
Like Disney Plus?
I don't know what Disney Plus is, but I imagine that's a streaming service. Okay, no, not like Disney Plus, like a digital version of me. Holly Plus is essentially an AI model of my voice. There are actually multiple models. Some of them are really natural sounding with my, you know, that can enunciate language, and others are kind of more just a kind of textural audio. I also did a cover of Dolly Parton's Jolene that we made a video for. You can find on YouTube where my AI voice is singing one of the greatest songs of all times.
Wow. Wait, I want to pull it up right now. Is that okay?
Yeah. I mean,
Holly, is it Holly plus like plus sign or Holly plus like P-L-U-S?
Plus sign.
I got it. I'm going to play it. Wow, cool video right out the gate. What is going on?
This is my friends, Team Rolfus. They created the video using a lot of machine learning, you know, models trained on East Tennessee imagery where I grew up, because we were kind of creating a kind of fake past for myself. Dolly Parton is a huge, I don't know what to say, her figure looms large there. She's a...
She's a national treasure, but even more so in Tennessee.
Exactly. Yeah, like if I got all A's on my report card, I would get to go to Dollywood kind of thing.
This sounds great. So this isn't you singing. This is AI that's been trained on your voice.
Exactly. So that's the kind of really cool thing about this is the term that I came up with my partner for this is called spawning. Teaching the AI sonic properties of one sound to create a new sound.
Huh.
So this is what allows Holly Plus to create like a really wide range of vocals that I did not sing based on a set of pre-recorded phrases that I did sing. So it's kind of teaching the sonic logic of a sound.
As I always do with any YouTube video I'm watching, I scroll down to read what people are saying about it.
Oh, no.
And it's just near universal love. People are saying stuff like, I'm super excited about this surprise drop, remarkable, unique, and fresh take on a classic. But then there's this one I found.
Oh, no.
That's maybe the most interesting. It says, your voice is incredible. And then someone replied, it's not a real voice. It's all AI. And then the original person replied, no, it's not. And then the other guy replied, yes, it, look, it, foo. I don't know what that means, but there's a debate. People don't know if it's real or not. I think this gets at something I wonder about when I hear there's a new AI Drake song. It's like the question becomes to me, like, does it matter? Do you like it or do you not like it?
Yeah, I mean, I think for a lot of people, it doesn't matter. It kind of brings into question, like, what's the role of the artist? You know, what aspects of art creation are okay to outsource or can become kind of a mechanical process? And this is a question that's not necessarily new. I mean, Warhol's been asking this, you know, decades ago. And so it's kind of a continuation of that question. I think the big point here is about consent. If people are going to be performing with your voice or your likeness, it would be really great if there's a system for the artist or the voice that's being used to be able to consent or to be able to tell if certain works have been approved by that artist or if certain works are kind of more part of fandom, so that you can differentiate the kind of artist's voice from the automatically generated voices.
Let's bring this back to Drake and The Weeknd then. It sounds like if this is all about consent, you would not approve of some internet artist, whoever it might have been, taking Drake's catalog, feeding it through some AI, and coming up with some fresh Drake tracks, if that is indeed what happened here.
You know, in an ideal world, Drake and The Weeknd would have their own models that they could make accessible to the public, and then you could see which works Drake and The Weeknd maybe approved or which works were kind of just like freely works in the wild. But ideally, the artists whose voices are being used would have some kind of say in it. I do think it's one of those kind of things. It's like, it's going to be really difficult to control. So I'm not really in favor of a kind of punitive IP debate around this. I think that it will be more interesting if people are more permissive with their IP. That can actually unlock really fun and cool stuff. Like, what if The Weeknd and Drake actually really loved the song and then decided to then add a verse to it, and then that could go on their official Spotify playlists or whatever. Like, what if there was some sort of interaction there, and then they could interact with their fans who could perform as them in certain ways? I think it can unlock really weird and interesting collaborations. Of course, the devil's in the details.
These girls on my neck, got these girls on my check, like Selena, baby, on my Gina, baby.
That was Holly Herndon. Her AI alter ego is Holly Plus, kind of like Disney Plus. Find them both at hollyherndon.com. Earlier in the show, you heard from Neelai Patel. Find him at theverge.com. He's also got a podcast called Decoder. If you're into tech podcasts, you'll be into Decoder. Our show today was produced by Amanda Llewellyn. It was edited by Amina Al-Sadi. It was fact-checked by Avishai Artsy and mixed by Paul Robert Mounsey. The rest of the team at Today Explained is comprised of Halima Shah, Hadi Mawagdi, Miles Bryan, Victoria Chamberlain, Siona Petros, and Laura Bullard. Happy birthday, Laura. Extra help from Jolie Myers and Patrick Boyd and Michael Raphael. We use music by Breakmaster Cylinder and Noam Hassenfeld. Matthew Collette's our managing editor. Noel King hosts the show with me. I'm Sean Ramos for him. Today Explained is distributed by WNYC. We are part of the Vox Media Podcast Network. Metro made the beat, so you know that it's gonna slap.